graduation day, Lorelai's graduation
day. It's hard to make this a good syncopated rhyme.
It's really hard.
I did cry at the Emily part. I just want to get that off my chest before we get into it.
If you're playing the drinking game, everybody drink.
There were so many tweets and Facebook questions. Kevin, did you cry? Kevin, did you cry? Guys, yes, I cried. All right. So, moving on, we'll get to it.
You're going
to
lose it when Emily dies in season 7.
Oh, shoot. Does she? Well, I haven't seen season 7, so it's possible.
I don't know. Does she? Looks like the tables have turned.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening right now, we're about to record our call-in show, but we haven't done it yet. But as of you listening it, as the audience, it is in the past tense.
Right. It's already happened. It's been done.
It went well.
It's old news.
It was the highest rated podcast episode yet.
It was crazy, yeah.
Right?
That was unprecedented.
Beat Serial and This American Life. This American Life.
Invisibilia or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. Have you listened to it?
I haven't.
Do you know what it's about? I've heard it's about the invisible things, like feelings.
Oh, I was like, what do you mean, the invisible things?
I guess we have to listen to it.
This has been a plug for Invisibilia, I guess.
We should have a podcast where it's two guys describing what they think a podcast is just based on the title.
I would for real do that if it were like 10 minutes and we just talked about what we think they
so
talk about.
So I think this might be, yeah.
Who even is Joe Rogan?
Ooh, sick burn.
That wasn't meant to be. Anyway.
Anyway, guys, we know we promised a guest last week.
Look, guys, Joe Biden said he would hook us up with Michelle Obama, and then Michelle Obama flaked because she saw me walking and went, who is that gross-looking man who has not eaten a good meal?
Well, she saw you drinking that Frappuccino.
I'm going to drink on air.
He actually does have a Frappuccino. Okay, We're not doing object work.
I thought it was going to be more slurpy than it was, but no. I do have a Frappuccino. She did not appreciate that.
No.
But she did say, in lieu of coming on the show, she would get... What's his name? Richard
Pryor?
The exercise guy.
Lewis? No. Simmons?
Yes, Richard Simmons.
Oh, he's actually missing right now. He actually went missing. That's true.
Wow, another guest lost. Never.
He really did. There's no bit to him. I think there was a story where he went missing.
I just remember. That's why he was in my head.
It was like elderly abuse or something. Oh yeah, we heard about it on Monday. That's what
we both heard about it. Look, we'll figure out what guests we're getting.
But in the meantime, we have a guest even better than Michelle
Obama. Even better.
Obama. 20 times better, I would say.
I don't know where the math is for that, but I agree.
Concurred. Let's introduce her right now.
La, 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 la. Special guest.
Well, you, of course, know her from her work on Parks and Recreation, which you can see in its final season right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Aisha Muhar.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
She's here. She's real. And she's spectacular.
We didn't make her up.
We did not make her up. Better than the real thing. Aisha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here. And it's interesting that you mentioned Michelle Obama, because when I lived in Los Feliz, I was one day walking behind an old racist woman who startled herself from me walking behind her and went, oh, I thought you were Michelle Obama. And it was like, why did you think that Michelle Obama, the first lady, was just casually
just
walking?
Chilling out.
And you were also scared of that. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't like,
what? Was she startled like, oh my God, presidency?
No,
or
she seemed
my
upset cholesterol. With me. I don't, she seemed upset, or maybe she was upset because she was disappointed that I wasn't Michelle Obama.
I wonder how often she gets startled just thinking people might be Michelle Obama.
Or yeah. She thinks every homeless man is Zach Galifianakis.
She's just kind of always on high edge.
Well, that's what we call a Barack Obama. Aisha, Sorry.
That's the show.
Right out the gate.
Da, 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 da. Where's your relationship and experience with the show, Gilmore Girls?
I love Gilmore Girls. I was very excited about coming here this week, and my friend made fun of me because she was like, you have like other things going on in your life. I was like, no, this is the biggest thing. This is the highlight. I'm so happy that I have a platform to discuss Gilmore Girls because I'm always talking about it. When I left the house today, my boyfriend was like, this is a really huge day for you.
Oh, wow.
I started watching it when I was basically Rory's age. I think I'm maybe a year older than her, depending on how they – I think I'm actually her age, but then maybe they paced it in a way where she ended up somehow younger than me. You know how TV shows like delay graduation and things like that? So I think we started out the same age. And at first, I watched it alone because I was raised by a single mom, and my mom is normally really against portrayals of single moms and daughters because normally it's like, this single mom is like wacky and she doesn't know how to raise a child and her daughter is more like the parent. And it's like that movie with Natalie Portman and Susan Sarandon, Anywhere But Here.
Oh, Anywhere But Here.
And it's like, oh, she's such a bad mom. And it always starts when the kid's already like a teenager. So it's kind of charming. But if you imagine that happening when the person was five, if the movie was just like an adult woman being like, I don't know how to raise this kid. She's raising me. And it's just like a toddler. It wouldn't be as adorable.
Right.
So my mom was always like, that's a terrible portrayal of a mother and daughter. And like, that's not how our lives are. But eventually she started watching Gilmore Girls with me, and then she was like, this is just like our lives, and I love it.
That's so funny because we did have a guest on a couple of episodes ago, Tara Copeland, who refused to watch the show growing up because she resented the way the mother and daughter portrayal was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Where the daughter was more like the mom than the mom was. And that episode in particular, it was episode 203, Red Light on the Wedding Night, where she like bolts instead of like getting, you know, married to Max. And it was such an example of that.
That's true. But I think in general, Gilmore Girls is pretty good about Lorelai still being like the mom figure and putting her foot down. Like in the pilot, she's like, you're going to Chilton and I don't care if you
playing
like
the
boys.
Mom card.
Playing the mom card.
Yeah.
And Rory's a bit more serious, which actually is a little bit more like my mom. I'd say in terms of personality, maybe I'm more like Lorelai. We're both of them.
Which one of you is more like Emily?
My mother is more like Emily for sure. Very proper.
Aisha.
Very proper. Like, she says things are inappropriate. Most things in life are inappropriate to my mom. It's like, that was inappropriate. That was also inappropriate.
So, full disclosure, Aisha was telling us about how before she came on the show today and came here to record it, her and her mom were listening to it. And your mom was particularly perplexed at the part where we said, welcome to my ass, repeatedly.
She asked me if that was, like, a common phrase that people were saying now.
All the kids are saying
it is now.
I could tell she was concerned. I knew her next question was going to be, like, is this, like, a proper podcast for you to go on? What is a proper podcast?
We're all wearing proper podcast. Suits, so
there is no such thing. She'd be disappointed that that doesn't really
Oh, my gosh.
I think we're as proper as a podcast can be.
You guys have been very proper, I think.
We've tried. Yeah. We try not to go off the rails.
I hold pinkies out when I'm holding a teacup.
There's been an F-bomb here or there, but overall, I feel like
we're gentlemen.
We're respectful young boys. Until nice I just said boys. That. Well, let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 221, Lorelai's graduation day. And we'll open it up the way we open up every episode with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every single pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and listen back to them. So this is episode 221, Lorelai's graduation day, Pop Goes the Culture.
We saw the Bengals here.
It's like a Baz Luhrmann movie out there.
My brain is full. It has reached capacity. It's Shea Stadium when the Beatles played. It's cramped and girls are screaming and I think George is fighting with Ringo.
It's where David Lee Roth got busted.
The Go-Go's.
Didn't they feed lead to our jumping frog or something?
Oh yeah, right after they stoned the woman who won the lottery.
You look very GQ.
Oh, thanks to my best new friend, Hermenegildo Zegna.
The DVD of The Graduate, gotta have that. Ooh, the portable Nietzsche.
The place is right out of High Fidelity.
Jessica Hahn would think was beneath her. Unless I turn into John Nash and start drooling on people.
Kinkos.
Hey, Liza, that gets me thinking. Maybe you and I ought to do a little reproducing after the ceremony.
Marcus Schenkenberg. Oh, look, it's Michael Landon. Make sure Mick Jagger doesn't come anywhere near him. What color is your parachute? Practical manual for job hunters.
I've almost nailed the fill in Ramble On. I just have to stop hitting my face with the sticks when I pull my arms back.
John Bonham had that same problem.
Make up picture of Sean Cassidy.
A bunch of us are going to Shakey's afterwards for pizza.
Who's Slint?
Try to seat us next to a celebrity on the Concorde, like Sting or Screech or someone. Hey, Tanta, when did you become older than me?
Great, I'm Woody Allen and Annie Hall.
Woody Allen and Annie Hall.
The Go-Go's record that they pulled from that bin, I realized I have it. And so I went to look at it. And I feel like they used an alternate cover or something, because they were talking about the album very specifically. Uh-huh. It was the first album, Beauty and the Beat, signed by
Deborah Messing.
Yeah, Deborah yeah. Messing. Will and Grace is very own.
An unknown at the time.
What's she really?
Just an unknown indie rocker.
Yeah, yeah. But they definitely used an alternate cover or something. Maybe they couldn't get the rights to the image. I don't know. There was one, the Michael Landon one, I didn't get. So I tried to look up the references just so we could talk about which ones I didn't recognize mm-hmm. or not. The Michael Landon one, it's like, oh, he's an actor, but why for Lane running up with drumsticks? Like, he wasn't a musician or anything.
Michael Landon, he was an actor. It wasn't about, it didn't have anything to do with drumming. It was about how they were being chased. By
oh, me. Okay.
I believe the reference, as I'm looking it up.
Fill for time, Demi.
So how do you...
Why do you forget to talk when I say
I don't know. I don't know. As soon as you say fill for time, I'm just like, do stand
up. My favorite thing to
do. I don't even have a stand-up
set. So what's the deal with podcasts?
What's the deal with Gilmore Girls?
What's the deal?
No, but regardless.
So Michael Landon, he played Lil Joe and Bonanza, blah, blah, blah. Lorelai might have called Lane Michael Landon because of the wholesome characters he played and the fact that his character Lil Joe was always asking his older brothers to wait for him, and Lane had been asking Lorelai and Rory to stop and wait for her.
Very mystery nice. Solved.
How many of these, like, growing up, because you were kind of the same age as Rory... Mm-hmm. Rory, at the time, how many of these did you get while you were watching it?
I didn't get all of them, and I remember feeling like I was learning from Gilmore Girls at times because I would hear a reference and I'd be like, well, I don't know what that is, but I know it's supposed to be cool or it's supposed to be interesting,
right.
And I would look it up. Because also, like, Lorelai is of a generation that's older than us, so I feel like a lot of her references are, even if you're like an in-tune kid, you're not going to know the, like, supporting characters of Bonanza.
Yeah.
Just as you're watching it as like a 15-year-old.
But now we all do.
Yeah.
So mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. We're way smarter
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the Paladino agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think the John Nash reference was like insensitive in a way?
I think it was topical because A Beautiful Mind had just come out.
She could have said Russell Crowe, and I feel like then maybe you wouldn't have felt...
Maybe.
You would have been a little more okay with that. Because it's not the real guy.
Yeah, I think so.
And I can imagine Russell Crowe drooling at any given moment
in
history.
That's true.
It doesn't have to be about A Beautiful Mind. Could have been Gladiator.
Yeah. Could have been Les Mis. Could have been...
That would have been timely for them.
Could have been The Good Year. A Good Year? Remember that one where he has, like, a vineyard... And then he sells the vineyard.
No.
Oh, I'm now thinking of In Good Company, which is that Topher Grace movie where he's like, I like your daughter, but you're my boss. What are we going to do?
Oh, different move.
Is Russell Crowe in that?
No, it just, he said good something.
A good year. The good year.
And I thought about In Good Company, which seems to be a movie with no conflict because then the dad boss is just like, I'm all right with you dating my daughter. And they're like, well, I guess we'll figure this out.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah. It all worked out.
As long as my vineyard gets
gooded.
Gooded.
Any other references that were kind of weird?
No. The Jessica Hahn reference I had to look up. Apparently, Jessica Hahn was a church secretary who was raped by her televangelist boss.
Yeah, it was a huge scandal.
Yes.
Was it she?
Or they
she
had an
was
affair,
indeed
right?
raped?
Or was it? Was
I think she claimed to be raped, but it was an affair.
I don't know.
I probably shouldn't be throwing that around if I don't know.
I know.
What
we're
I'm
both like,
about.
She definitely wasn't. But we have no we have no evidence.
Wikipedia says that the evangelist said he was misled into thinking it was consensual.
Oh, that seems suspicious.
And right? And Jessica
misled
Hahn.
Misled into thinking it was consensual.
I have no idea. But like Jessica Hahn says she was drugged.
But then she became like a porn star.
Right, a softcore porn star. So I'm wondering what part of all of that.
That happens
is
a lot, though, to people who are involved in scandals.
Yeah. I'm wondering what part
or
of that.
The TV show Scandal.
That's the subplot of every episode of Scandal.
You do not want to see Tony Goldwyn's earlier movies.
Yes, I do.
Well, actually, yeah, he's a good looking dude.
What was I going to say?
Jessica Hahn.
What part of the reference was, like, when they said a job that even Jessica Hahn wouldn't do?
Beneath her. I think it was a judgment that she's, like, a trashy person.
Right.
In general.
What a weird, like, choice of reference, though, for someone who was raped, right?
Well, maybe that came out. Maybe the, I don't have no idea what the details of this case are, but maybe that came out later. Like,
oh, I'm sure
we
it
need
did.
To find out. We're speculating while we're
yeah, let's
go into Wikipedia.
But
I think we need to call an investigator.
Or it could still be. I mean, it could just be that she's suggesting that even the church secretary job was pretty bad before the incident even happened. Like maybe that job working for a televangelist isn't the greatest job,
right?
I can't imagine. I did it for a summer.
Did you really?
Did you?
Joel Osteen.
How did it go?
Remember that dude? I needed a credit for, I needed to do an internship credit for media because I was majoring in radio, TV, and film at UT. And I lived in Houston and I knew a guy that worked in the media department at Lakewood Church. That's Joel Osteen's church.
So that was that like your big, and was that the big break?
That, yeah, that's where I got made.
And then Joel's like, you should do a Gilmore Girls podcast.
He's like, hey,
and here we
fella,
are.
If you set your mind to it and you're real positive, one day you'll have a podcast that everyone will listen to and love and call in on. He did say that. He prophesied.
That's so weird.
It's amazing.
He's very specific.
Almost as if he was Jesus.
Whoa.
That's a pretty big statement. Anyway.
Twist. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is Lorelai's. Pretty casual contraction, Netflix. Lorelai's about to graduate from business school, and Rory secretly invites guests to her graduation ceremony. Semicolon, Rory goes to New York to see Jess. There's some errors there, I feel like.
Are there? It seems pretty... I guess the friends thing.
Well, just the... Lorelai is about to graduate.
That's a little clunky.
Yeah.
Anyway. Just some... editorial notes for them.
They fell asleep halfway through writing the first word.
Yeah. It's fine. Who cares? Netflix will give it to you. We'll
yeah,
give it
whatever.
To you.
Have this one.
Are you Team Jess?
I am Team Jess. And I knew this would be controversial. I'm very Team Jess. And I thought about it because I saw that Julianne was on and that she tweeted recently that she now feels like she's become an adult and she's no longer Team Jess.
Oh, did she tweet that after doing the show?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And
wait, Julianne did?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, a little bit after. And I saw that, and I was thinking, well, I do feel like now, as an adult woman, like a very sophisticated adult woman, I can understand.
Aisha's wearing a monocle right yeah. now and a little top hat, and it's
wearing a
classic.
Very, very long dress. Yeah. I can see the folly of choosing Jess, but also I think for a teenage girl, Jess is a great choice for Rory. I mean, Dean's too much for a teen to have as a teen boyfriend. And it actually, I'll say, like, I'm not even Team Jess in a way where I'm like, oh, boo, Dean. Like, Dean's fine. But I just think that Jess is on her level, and she really needs someone who can just talk to her about books they like to read or the Go-Go's and things like that. I know wasn't you guys are like, no!
No, wasn't there a point in season one where Dean was that kind of a guy where they were, like, exchanging books and stuff? What happened to
she
that,
was,
Dean?
But she was more, like, teaching him. It was more like Belle and the Beast, like, a situation where she was...
wow.
Kind of, she was...
a judgment call.
she was introduced...
Dean's been locked in a tower for years.
introducing him to, like, the ways of modern society and educated folk.
Kind of.
It was My Fair Lady.
The exchange was Jane Austen v. Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
For Dean and...
Yeah, Dean was like, you do need to read Hunter S. Thompson.
Dean, he got angrier and a little dumber.
He has crazy rage issues now, and I don't know...
Come to my softball game.
Why?
Why?
Why would you come to my softball?
That's his classic catchphrase, is why?
Yeah.
Or what? Yeah. When he's reading the letter.
Well, he has a curious mind. Maybe he is smarter than we're thinking. He wants answers to questions. He doesn't just take...
I wonder if there's like an alternate version of the show. Or not even a version, but just an episode where it shows whatever events took place between season one and season two, where Dean just decides to himself alone in his car, like, I guess I'll stop trying to learn.
Yeah.
And then he just becomes like a boring grocery softball playing.
I imagine that after he kissed Rory and they got back together, he just went spinning in a field somewhere, like arms open, and he hit his head on a tree or something.
He was so delighted.
And that's canon now. And he
Are
came
you
back
saying
like,
you want fan art of that?
No, stop doing that. I don't want fan
You heard it
of
here
that.
First. Add Electro Lemon.
Oh,
Vine Superstars.
Why is this? Plugs. Art. Save the plugs.
Yeah.
I will say that before this episode, or before we started recording, I told Kevin that something changed in this episode to make me... What I'm trying to say is, This is the first episode where I'm seeing Jess in a very positive light.
Ooh.
It's the first episode
welcome
that I'm seeing
Team Jess.
Hey, welcome I'm to not my ass. Show.
No. I'm not on your ass and I'm not on Team Jess.
No, my mom's going to hear this. We didn't say that,
what's,
Mom.
What's your mom saying?
Barbara.
Barbara. We're sorry.
We're very sorry. We love you come on the show.
We love you come... For real. We love you come on the show. No bit done.
But seeing Jess in New York is so weird. It's like seeing him in his element almost makes him kinder or like more... Maybe...
He's a little more... He's not trying to prove something
exactly.
Like he always is in Stars Hollow.
He's
also,
not...
It's so clearly the Warner Brothers lie.
Oh, I was about
seeing
to say.
Seeing him in his element of the Warner
the
Brothers
The element
lie.
Is a sound... Like, yeah. It is so... We talked about this in the last episode. But the production design of the show is just not stellar.
It works for Stars Hollow, or I think
it works for Stars Hollow.
But then going to New York, it just, especially because they kept talking about, this is so different.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks very
similar. A hot
similar.
Dog.
Well, and also, one of the big questions we got on Twitter and Facebook, if you want to do the theme song.
Facebook Q&A.
No Twitter. No Twitter, love.
Twitter sucks.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. That was
you're going to hear first
Both
from
statement.
Twitter superstar Demia Digimon.
Come on. Twitter Q&A.
That one of the questions we got was, how does Rory find Jess just right there?
I have
Do you have a theory?
I have an answer because I was watching it with my mom and I said, how did she just happen to find him? And then my mom said, he told her that he hangs out there every day in Washington Square Park. And I was like, that's true. He does tell her that.
But is Washington, you're from New York.
Yeah.
Isn't
well,
it,
Long Island. I don't want anyone to get upset with me when later they find out I'm not. Because people will.
Cards we're going to boycott this episode.
Yeah. So how big is Washington Square
it's
Park,
big,
though?
But I mean, I assume she was walking around for a while, maybe, and we didn't see that. Oh, well. That was cut. Yeah. Those are the extended scenes where she's just making
just
loud circles.
A lost girl in the big city.
Lost in New York.
Also, you're probably supposed to believe that they're, like, attached by some type of, like, kismet, like, chemistry connection and that she can find
the universe,
him anywhere.
Okay.
If I hadn't said that, she would have just bumped into me like, oh, this is crazy, almost as if it were serendipity.
They look at the camera.
Exactly.
John Cusack walks by.
Yeah, and Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, who's
Beckinsale.
The other one?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the Kates.
So, okay, so you saw...
No, I was going to continue to say...
serendipity.
Jess.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
There was... It's almost – so it starts when he's on the phone and we see him call and it's just this weird out of the blue call. And for me at first I was like, that's really weird, Jess. Why are you calling? And he was so kind and not snarky and like genuinely just being like, how are you? Oh, what happened to Luke and stuff? No, he was.
I'm making a face right now.
You're making a face, but he was. He was being so normal and not snarky. And he didn't go into that kind of voice where it's like, don't you think I'm like James Dean kind of?
Yeah. Kinda. My Tool t-shirt next to my Kinda. Metallica t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean...
Can't sleep unless I'm listening to hard rock.
What a wonderful world. I grant you that he's not a little D-bag snark monster on the phone to Rory. But I didn't get from that scene like, oh, he's really concerned. I got like, he's just a teenager being like, sup, what are you doing? Nothing? Cool, you know.
He seemed
but he
almost
cares about her.
Yeah, it was like it was purely him caring about her and not just being like, huh, "What's Dean up to?" You know, I hate that guy.
Right, or like making fun of her choices or
exactly.
What he's normally
he was
doing.
Just being a normal nice guy.
It's true. He didn't say like, "Why do you think I called you?" Like those weird mind games he was playing in that takeout episode.
It's so weird that Rory is like blown away by the idea of a hot dog. Like, she's like, what? Can we take a hot dog in the subway? It's like, you've never been in the subway. I'm just a small town girl.
Which seems Living to, like, even though she is a small town girl, her whole thing is that she's constantly reading about places.
Right.
And it seems like she would definitely...
She would have known about New York a little bit.
I feel like everyone knows about New York, even if you don't read. It's, like, the biggest city in the biggest country.
It's a huge part of every, like a lot of different parts of pop culture, which is all they talk about.
And if that show, what was that song that was playing?
Oh, yeah, that's on the soundtrack, actually.
It is actually?
Yeah, it's on the Gilmore Girls soundtrack because I heard it. I was like, oh, yeah, I have that song.
What song is it?
It was
it a Go-Go song? Or
no.
Some New York.
It was when they were entering the subway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I wrote it down and then I forgot. I'm sorry, guys.
I think
I'm not prepared.
I actually think it went like this. Welcome to New York. I think that was it.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was made today, that would definitely be it, if they That's could true. Afford it.
If it were That's... made today, she would come out of this, or she would step off the bus, there'd be like a pan around as she's in New York, and that song would play. Welcome to New
York. Just like that.
It's been waiting for you.
Welcome in. It's weird to hear it without my ass interjected into it. Which you can say
I was about to say, I'm going to take that quote out of context when this episode is released.
Fair.
And I'm going to use it as the ringtone for whenever you call me. So That's weird to hear that without my ass interjected
into
it.
That is such a long and convoluted ringtone.
Yeah.
But I'm into it.
Worth it.
It'll be worth it.
Oh, boy. Are there fashion things we want to go over in the fashion report?
There were a lot of sweater hoodies, which took me back to... Oh, sorry.
Oh, let's do it.
Sorry, no.
You violated our pack.
How dare you?
I'm humiliated.
All right, well, let's open it up. Fashion.
Sweater hoodies.
Sweater hoodies. Let's speak on that.
Yeah, that took... I felt like that was a very specific time period where, like women were like... Sweater hoodies were a thing that was acceptable to wear.
Who was wearing
not just
hoodies?
In your own home?
Was it when Lorelai was preparing for the graduation?
When they were walking before Lane caught up to them.
Oh yeah,
and then
walking
later,
to Suki's house.
Someone else is also Rory. It's either the very first scene when Rory's talking to Lorelai. Lorelai's studying, and I think Rory's wearing a sweater hoodie or a hoodie, sweater hoodie. And then later, Lorelai's wearing one when they're walking. Which I feel like is very specific. Because now, like, girls still wear hoodies or sweaters, but not sweater hoodies.
Right. You would never wear one?
It's over. No, I would never. I officially say, well, you'll never see me wearing a sweater.
You heard it here first. Oh, boy. We're in each other's heads.
Oh, boy. Emily was wearing that two-toned sweater. Or was it a sweater? What do we call the things that Emily wears?
Like everything's a sweater to me.
I see clothes. I just see sweaters.
Part of me wants to call it a blouse, but it's like whatever the chancellor of like a big country would wear.
In a post-apocalyptic
Hunger Games situation. Yeah.
What would you call that? You know the thing?
I'm trying to remember what it was. Like, was it when she was at the graduation?
Well, there's those. Which I guess is kind of like a suit blouse. I don't know. It's like a Nancy Pelosi thing almost. But the one I'm thinking of is when Rory comes over and she's like pitching Lorelai's graduation, which was a great scene.
We open Lorelai graduating. Yeah.
So check it out, Emily. No, but that it was like two-tone and it was like blue and pink, I think.
Oh, like kind of a sophisticated smock.
Smock, maybe that's what
it is. It's probably not. It's just kind of, it is a blouse. Like my Aunt Mary wears a lot of things like that. So I don't know what the exact name of it is.
Yeah, me
neither.
That's
a good question. It's not a sweater. Well, I mean, you'd probably say it was a sweater, but it's a lighter material.
There are so many like women's clothing articles that I could just be like, it could be this, could be this, and someone will be like, no, dude, that's like those are pants. Like I don't know what
right. You know, like the words, but not what they mean.
Camisole, cardigan. Oh, no, I know cardigan. Caftan.
Sure. Not that. Kefia. That's just another thing.
Kefia. And then Jess was wearing, like, what, a little jersey shirt?
Was he wearing a baseball tee?
He was wearing a baseball tee.
Yeah. Also very of the time.
That looked so it's not called a jersey shirt?
No, it's not a jersey shirt. Actually, when you're in Jersey, they are called jersey shirts.
Oh, you want shirts? We got shirts.
It's hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. Good show, Ben Schwartz.
So that shirt reminded me a lot of my high school shirt because it had the same colors and like it looked like it had a panther on the middle of it, which ours was the Jaguars. Oh my God, I don't remember my high school mascot. That's not good for my brain.
For your brand?
For my brain.
For your brain.
Well, it's not
He's
good
a
for
super
either.
On
it's
high-
not.
Yeah, I'm. Look, I'm known
He's
as
a high
the,
school guy.
I'm the hometown guy.
Hometown boy.
I still haven't graduated. But that's the only thing I heard. Her color scheme in the beginning of what she was wearing when they're walking and Lane catches up to them reminded me of Liz Hurley in Bedazzled.
That movie's been coming up a lot.
Has it? Have we talked about it before?
I feel like we have, or I did with someone else recently.
I feel like I've mentioned it recently too, but I don't know why.
It's 15 years old. It's the one with Brendan Fraser and Liz Hurley's the
I'm
devil,
familiar.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why I would have mentioned that more than.
So you mean like she was wearing lots of red? Or
it was
that's
like
all I remember.
Red pants and a black.
Oh yeah, yes,
top.
It was a very strange outfit.
Yeah, it was almost. It's like the devil is here, and she's a powerful woman. Like I don't know.
And then of course, Jackson suit.
which wasn't that great, and it was kind of
it
confusing.
Was okay.
It was like, whoa,
it was fine.
Hey,
for someone who wears overalls all the time,
yeah,
it's
and tie dye shirts
change.
And beanie hats.
That's
yeah.
true. It's pretty. It's far from where he started.
I mean, after all, he did say,
"I look hot."
Mm. I recorded that too. Because the way he says "hot,"
I look hot.
I look hot. He's saying "Hyatt."
I look hot.
Hot.
There is a Y in there, isn't
Hyatt.
There?
There is. He's saying Hyatt. He's talking yeah. about.
I look hot.
It's a subtle product placement. Hyatt.
They'll never know what's coming.
I mean, Pop Tarts at the Hyatt. Driving a Volvo.
Volvo.
I guess that's. Oh, the other thing I did like.
Were you
is
just
how,
about to say? I guess that's all.
No.
I was like, we've been here maybe. Two
no. Of the fashion.
Okay. Okay.
No, but I did like how Richard's bow tie and Emily's. Whatever she was wearing at the graduation did match.
They did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so cute
They're
of them.
They're cute.
That's one thing I'm looking forward to one day.
Richard and Emily are a great couple.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. In terms of romance on the show, they actually
Best
are.
Best couple on the show. IMO.
I would agree. They're probably the only long-standing couple through the entire show.
I mean, from who else do you get moments like...
Richard, stop it. Stop it.
Richard's a horn dog. That's certain. That's...
Well, after all, he was...
Banging the Swede.
Okay. So, supposedly, that's him saying bagging the Swede, as in, like, getting an account from a
he
Swedish
got the
person.
Account. Right, he scored it.
Sounds... But it sounds...
It sounds like...
He's banging her.
The Swede.
Yeah.
There's an N in there. There's an N in there. Richard Herman slipped an N
that
in there.
That was, like, the fifth take, and he was like,
and Edward
just say
Herman.
Banging
yeah,
the Swede.
Exactly.
RP.
And the Paladinos were like, I like that take better.
Yeah, he got a little loosey-goosey on that last one. We don't usually encourage improv,
well, let's
but
keep
for this
it.
One, we're keeping it. And that's it for the fashion report.
Fashion.
I wonder if in the future we should encourage guests to get in on that. On the intro and outro songs. Tara Copeland was real hearty about it.
She
and
was.
It was amazing.
My only worry is that, like, because then we have to, if guests haven't listened to an episode, we have to be like, so basically we do this thing where we yell fashion.
Yeah, I feel like, are you saying that because I jumped the gun this time? So
no,
we got to tell guests that they got to join in.
No, I'm saying if they join in.
You guys are going to have, like, 5 meetings about this. That was a disaster.
And the meetings are just me and you.
Yeah. We're going to cut you out of this episode entirely. We're just talking to no one.
Well, yeah, are guests allowed to sing along the second time you guys
Absolutely.
Sing? Not the first time.
Oh,
but the
every
second time.
You can sing along every time.
Any
we've never been in a position
some
where someone
would. Some guests sing and some guests don't. So I'm like, are those guests that do sing, are they like rebels or are they... are the?
We have no rules for this.
Are they renegades?
The singing guests, the rebels.
I feel like we're not allowed to have rules on a podcast where we say, welcome to my ass so frequently.
That's true. I think literally the only... rule I would impose on any guest is no spoilers.
Okay.
Up to where we are.
So,
because Demi's watching it for the very
right,
first time.
I know
time.
Demi's watching right. it for the first time, so I've tried
I'm
to.
I'm a newbie.
I won't say anything.
But otherwise, sing, don't sing, make weird bird
okay.
noises.
So I'll sing at the end if they're.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or before. If you want to jump the gun on that,
some
we'll
point,
right now.
Follow along at home. At some point, I'm going to start singing.
Oh, God. That was loud.
That was a little louder that time. So bad. Whoopsie. Okay, so let's talk about the Lorelai graduation ceremony, that whole storyline.
Is it weird that they forgot to talk about her going to school for, like, an entire season now?
Lorelai?
Yeah, because when she started going to school...
Not an entire season.
Well,
I said that like Emily.
No, but I mean, it has been almost a season, right? Didn't the last time we get mention of it was when she was with Max?
No, because she went on the date with that dude who ended up wearing a South Park t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And right. she met him, during a class.
Where's that dude? Is he not graduating?
He's on the hit WB show Popular at this point.
Is he really?
He's in the main cast.
Ooh.
I forget his name.
Was it Chris Gorham?
Oh, it might have been. I think it might have been.
He was dark-haired guy.
He wasn't dark-haired. He was kind of a blondie bear.
He was blonde
so maybe
on the
was
show.
It Bryce Dallas?
Howard?
No, Howard. Just
wait.
Isn't there a Bryce Johnson?
Oh, I was like, there's not a Bryce Dallas also, is there? Because that'd be.
I think it's Bryce Johnson. I'm also going, just based on who I know is unpopular, I don't remember the guy she went on a date with.
I don't remember.
I actually
that show
realized
at all.
As I was rewatching this episode that I used to watch Gilmore Girls like a lot, even after I could still rewatch it, but I haven't rewatched it in maybe a year, so.
Oh, wow.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery. Starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, that, yeah,
what happened, Aisha?
I know, it's terrible. It's really bad, guys. I'm glad I'm here.
I've heard, what I've heard for people who are actually in the business is that you can either make TV or you can watch it.
You know what? That's the God honest truth.
Yeah, really?
No, but I like that if ever like a very salty vet who was like, oh yeah, I stopped watching TV the day I started working on the Radford Lot.
You know who I heard that? He told me, but like read that quote. I think it was Joss Whedon said that. Which makes more sense when you're running three shows at the same time.
There's like also so much new TV. I think I used to watch a lot of reruns of Gilmore Girls when there were less new shows that I wanted to see. Now it's like, I can't really...
Did you see that FX data from the TCAs?
No.
A couple weeks ago? So FX had some researcher, probably not an intern, but probably interns helped, and they calculated how many just TV shows were on the air at the time. It was like 352 television shows.
Oh my God.
On major networks and the major cable networks.
Thing is, when you're young, a lot of those shows don't appeal to you in any way, so there's no trying to get into it. There's no problem in you watching all the shows you want to watch, but as you get older, like, you become the demographic, and so it's like, I gotta watch everything. This is all for me.
Right.
So it's just true. Like, what do you...
Well, soon it will be 351, because our show's ending soon, so... There'll be one less thing that people have to.
Can I just say from a complete sense of sincerity, Parks and Rec.
No Bit Zone.
Parks and Rec is my favorite show on television. It is probably my gold standard for a comedy as to what I think a good TV show should be. I talk about it all the time. It is not dipped in quality. I am like so sad to see it go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. That's awesome to hear. It's really great.
And I think you can see a lot of. I see some of the Gilmore Girls DNA in a lot of Parks and Recreation.
Perfect. My plan has been working.
In terms of like townies, you definitely
that's
have
true.
Those.
Oh,
yeah. No, I love shows where like the town has a bunch of odd characters. Like The Simpsons is my favorite show. Gilmore Girls is probably number two. And I think Parks and Rec gets compared way more to Simpsons than Gilmore Girls. I think you may be the first person I've heard to say that. But I've always felt that way in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you really have?
I'm the only hardcore Gilmore. I shouldn't even say hardcore. I'm like the Gilmore Girls fan on our staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've brought up Gilmore Girls before, and I kind of stopped bringing it up because it would just be met with silence.
Does everyone else just go, oh, God,
like, okay, yeah, we know. And we're like, well, actually, Lorelai and Rory.
Anthony King told similar stories because he worked on Playing House. Mm-hmm. The Jessica St. Clair Linden Farm show. And St. Clair would always say, oh, it's like this scene on Gilmore Girls and blah, blah, blah. And she'd try to use that as a standard, like, let's go for that. And no one ever connected with what she was talking about. Yeah.
We could go pitch a show together.
You should.
Or start
don't
a rival
go for
podcast.
USA.
Oh, well, actually, no, because Playing House season two.
Oh, they got it?
Yeah.
Did you not hear?
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah,
dude.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah,
I'm throwing confetti in the air.
Playing House season two.
Yeah.
So okay, the Lorelai graduation story, we got a little sidetracked.
Yeah.
Welcome to my ass.
No, but I mean, it does. I guess I did forget that they mentioned it briefly with that storyline of her dating the guy from Popular. But it feels like it came out of nowhere for her to graduate. Because when I was looking at the titles, I was like, she's graduating? But they haven't talked about her going to school. Like, even just a line of being like, sorry, I can't do that. Got school tonight or something in previous episodes would have been, I don't know. It just seems like they set up this big storyline but forgot to remind us that it was happening along the way. Like, if I were watching this live, I'd be like, oh, yeah, she is in school.
Right.
Anyway.
Because it would have been months and months ago at this point.
Exactly.
That you'd even heard
tell of it. You wanted like a little refresher or something.
Even if it was like one or two lines in every episode, like, oh, I got a class tonight or something.
Bad class.
Yeah.
She's just carrying like a business school tote bag at all times.
Yeah, yeah. She just, all she had to do was say, this is my tote from
for
school.
For class later.
What's up, Luke?
One of the Twitter Q&As.
I sang the theme song.
Oh, you already did.
I don't do it twice.
whoa. At Flagophile asked, pick your poison, going skeet shooting with Dean or spending a pointless day in New York City with Jess?
New York with Jess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely New York with Jess.
Because I really like New York, and also skeet shooting sounds super boring. Is that weird that
it's
sounds...
It's fun. No, I think it's fun.
it probably is fun, but the idea...
For like 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the kind of thing where it's like, oh my God, I got tired of this so quickly and there's recoil and I'm getting hurt.
Oh, no.
I'm very weak.
Yeah, you're worried about that.
And also, injury. I have to hang out with Dean, and every time I'm like, I don't want to do skeet show, Dean goes, why?
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 And you have to make small talk with Dean, too.
Yes, oh my God. What do you make small talk with Dean about?
So your hair
softball.
Today is... Softball. Yeah, so you were good in the softball game. So when you're bagging groceries, do you put the cold items at the bottom and the light ones at the top?
How do you like, I never thought about it, because he doesn't think about it.
Exactly. He's like, I don't know, I'll just do what the thing says.
I really did love that scene where Rory is pitching Emily and Richard on, like, come to the graduation. Lorelai doesn't want them to because there's drama, blah, blah, blah.
It's very cute.
But yeah, it's so cute how she's like, now, here's the tickets. I know what you're thinking. And it's so, like, kind of the pseudo-adult, like, kind of Rory archetype that she does play sometimes. Like, when she's handling Paris or other friends of hers. Other friends of hers, there's only one. It's just Paris and Lane.
Yeah.
Those are the two.
She's a quiet girl.
But then...
What about Brad?
Brad. Oh, I love Brad.
Brad's my favorite.
He comes back.
Yay! You have to assure me every time I'm not
don't
sure.
Don't worry.
Let's get Brad on the show.
Oh, my God, if we could. Yeah. Brad, if you're listening for some reason, hit us up.
We should probably use the actor's actual name.
It's Brad to me.
You all right. Just sub it in later.
It's all Brad to me.
Yeah, we'll just dub it in.
Yeah, we will. It'll be someone
just leave
else's
a space.
Voice too. Yeah.
We'd love to have on the air.
Yep.
One thing about her going to Emily and Richard, wasn't that the exact thing that like caused a rift between her and Lorelai like episodes ago with her going to her to get money for their house?
Right, but that was more support your daughter and cheer her on. Well, I'm saying this is more supporting her, cheer on, and that was more like she
you have to get
needs
involved.
You.
Yeah, this was like be there for this moment.
And what's the new contract going to be? What's the new?
And it was cute that she talked about how she felt when Lorelai wasn't there because she didn't tell her something. That whole scene felt a little unlike the tone of the show, but in a way where it was like this kind of sketch of its own. The fact that at the end she was like, "Now Richard and Emily, tell me what you think," and then they were just kind of quietly sitting there.
Oh, I love that! I love that tag
like,
so much.
It felt like the end of a play, like we're just there's just dead silence, and it's like Richard and Emily, and they're just staring straight at her.
The weirdest Neil Simon play ever. There was that funny. Okay, so she is describing I was broccoli and I did a tap dance number with guy playing the beats or whatever, and what she's describing. This may be of no importance or significance, but that is kind of a foreshadowing of a dance number that happens in Bunheads. There is one dance number where the girls like embody, I'm the supermarket, and like one of them's like plastic and one of them's paper. Mm-hmm. It reminded me just of that, like
do you
the embodiment
think
of those things.
The Paladinos, like that's a real thing that happened to Amy Sherman and she just used it twice, or do you think it was
a reference
to...
She used to be a dancer, so it could be.
I think so.
I would count that as mystery solved. I'm just going to assume that's fact now.
She, I'm sure she's personal experience. Like, she talks about working in the Roseanne writer's room at the peak of that show's, like, popularity and the way Roseanne ran it. And she incorporated, and we'll get to it once we get to it in season 5 or 6 or whatever it is, but she incorporated some Roseanne things into Paris's character.
Really?
And how she runs the paper.
We won't tell you what paper.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you what paper.
Okay.
True. Mm. I almost said it, too.
Just leave it at that.
The Dallas Morning News.
Oh, boy.
That's right. They go to UNT. Spoiler. But it is funny, too, the juxtaposition, and maybe why this episode is a great Rory episode, where it's like, come on, do this, blah, 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 Richard and Emily, da-da-da. And then I'm going to be a kid. I'm bailing on school. I'm running away. And now she's kind of more of a full-fledged person, more so than we've seen really up until this point. We've seen hints of it and hints of the rebellion and her telling little white lies, like Dean saying, is this true, Rory? And she's like, yeah, it is true. But
is
now
this
she's
true,
like,
Rory?
Yeah. when she's on the stand for the takeout night.
Is he really gone?
I just, that line.
Is he really gone?
Yeah, forever and ever. There's one thing I know. He'll never be back.
She makes a lot of bold statements as to what's going to happen forever. Like in this episode at the very end, she's like, Dean is my boyfriend.
Dean
will always be
forever.
Forever.
Was
like,
that speech was so long. Even for Gilmore Girls standards, that
it made me
sad. Self-flagellation.
Yes, I was about to say, it made me sad because it was her just being, it was like her going like, I'm stupid, stupid Dobby, stupid. And I was like, oh my God, calm down.
It was a stupid Dobby moment.
I'm going to be, I will love him forever. We'll be together forever. I was just like, oh, look,
It seemed like it was going to get to a point where she'd break down and be like, I wasn't stupid, like, I love Jess or something. Like, it seemed like one of those scenes where like the person's frantic and like freaking out. And then at the very end, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just realized. But instead, she just kept freaking out until the very end. And then it was
such
like,
an interesting choice. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, that she wasn't like, maybe I do like Jess, but that she is stuck in such this state of denial. But I think that's what happens like when emotional adultery happens is like, you're like, no, this guy, I'm with this guy forever. I'm with this girl forever. And so you put yourself there mentally. And so that's kind of a get out of jail free card for feeling whatever way about that person because you're like, blinded by your own false sense of security with that other person.
Right.
She's also such like a good girl and good person. And I feel like she's like, I'm not going to be the type of person who would do this to Dean. Like Dean's my boyfriend. He's great. Like I would never do this. So she's super in denial because she's like, I would be a horrible person if I did that. And that's not Rory. Also, she's super smart. So she's over analyzing everything and be like, well, here's how it's going to work logically. I can't like Dean because that doesn't make any sense as opposed to like, you know, going with her like wild teenage heart. She's thinking with her private school adult brain.
I thought you were going to say private parts. I don't know why.
Private parts.
She's thinking with her
she's
private
thinking with her
parts?
Logical private parts.
Wasn't sure. That was
That's
a real
the
wait
next
and see.
Episode.
Oh boy, this finale is going to be crazy.
It is graphic. Just kidding.
It's the one episode they aired on HBO.
Although that scene, it was interesting. I think she almost, do you think she went too far in it? Like, knowingly, or do you think she was really in this like cloud of like
too far into
like sometimes I feel like when I was a kid and I knew I screwed up, I'd be like, I'm dumb, and I'd like try to punish myself more than my parents could whenever they found out or they like we had the discussion about it as kind of like a tactic, like, well, the kid's already beat himself up so much. But I guess Rory wouldn't do that, would she? She wouldn't.
I think it was
like
genuine.
That. I think it was genuine, and it's like she's seeing this side of herself for the first time, and she's in real panic.
Yeah. Although I would love to see the scene of her going like, "I'm so sorry," and she goes inside, closes the door, and like lights up a cigarette. And she's like,
"You fell for it, Lorelai."
She blasts like a mixtape just made for her.
And it's all the Bangles on it.
It's all the Bangles.
What is Jess's favorite band? Do you think?
I think he says. Doesn't he
the
say
the Offspring or something? I don't know.
No, that's.
I can't believe you would say that about Jess.
Or no, it's Lorelai. It's Metallica v. Offspring.
What?
Oh, yeah. Christopher likes Offspring. Remember, that's a season one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
And he's like, you listen to Metallica. And Rory says, Offspring sucks and Metallica rules.
What a statement to make.
Very declarative. We need to talk about Seth MacFarlane.
I was fearing that we'd get to this part.
Let's do it.
I know. I saw that and I was like, oh, this is going to turn into the Family Guy
first
podcast.
Of all, does he come back?
No.
Okay, good.
You're like Dean. Is he gone forever?
Is he gone forever? That's all I want to know.
Okay, I'm Rory. Be Dean right now.
Is he really gone forever?
Yes.
Awesome.
Cool. Let's make out.
Let's talk fruit.
Don't kick my duffel bag.
I'm gonna. Sorry, it's happening. No, Seth MacFarlane, he's such an awful person in this episode.
You guys are not going to believe this. There's some blue-blooded rich woman out there setting up professional film equipment like she's shooting a movie or something.
You're kidding. Whose mother is it?
I don't know. Little Precious must be around here somewhere, though.
I hate people with money.
So do I, with every fiber of my being.
Those characters.
He's just the worst.
Yeah.
And also his character.
And not in a fun way.
Gotcha.
I wonder if it could have been more likable if it was done by someone else.
I don't know.
They were pretty annoying characters, and they were so mean. They were like, rich people, we hate them.
She at least comes out of the gate like being kind of nice.
Yeah.
So
she invites her to Shakey's.
For her, I thought.
Classic nice move.
Yeah. I mean, inviting someone for pizza is a pretty nice move.
Second Shakey's name check on the show, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, remember? Emily for the
Rory's
coming out. Not
a
Shakey's.
Is that? I have a question about that because I'm from the East Coast, and when I saw that episode originally, I was like, I don't know what Shakey's is. And now that I've moved out here, I see Shakey's. But and I was wondering if that was something that they wrote shooting in LA, but is that something that's actually in Connecticut, Shakey's?
Not that I'm aware. Yeah. I don't there wasn't any in Texas.
That like, I had imagine. Never heard of it. I was like, oh, I get this reference now that I'm older, because at the time I was like, I assumed it was a pizza place, but I thought it was like a local pizza place called Shakey's.
That must have been one of those LA bubble oversights, like, oh, yeah, let's go down to the Shakey's and then the Grove in Connecticut. Or like when Luke says you get on the 10 in one episode.
He does.
He calls it, yeah, we talked about it in one of the last episodes. Like, he's describing a highway. He's like, yeah, you take the 10 or the 4. Like,
no highways in Stars Hollow.
He calls the highway the something.
Oh.
So right, maybe which get is to fair. Connecticut or whatever.
Do you guys ever go to the Grove and see that Gilmore Lane sign and wonder if that's how she got the name Gilmore Girls? I do all the time.
I don't know if that's how she got the name, but I see it all the time and I want to take a picture.
I'm always wondering if...
In interviews, she does talk about going to the Grove a
lot. Does she?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, mystery solved.
I should
mystery solved. It's fact now.
You've redeemed yourself for ruining our fashion report.
I work so hard.
A lot of things are becoming fact in this episode.
Okay, so you said, before we start recording, and I said, no, save it for the podcast, you said Gilmore Girls and visiting the set was part of your origin story.
Yes, because when I was a senior in college, I was writing comedy. I was, like, writing a lot of funny stuff, but I hadn't really thought about writing for television, and I took a screenwriting class, and my teacher encouraged me to get into screenwriting and TV writing. So through a mutual friend, I got put in touch with Rebecca Kirshner, now Rebecca Sinclair. She's married. Mm-hmm. She was writing on Gilmore Girls at the time.
Rebecca Rand Kirshner, is that her name?
Okay. Yeah. And I told her that I was a huge fan of the show, and I was thinking of going into television writing. And she sent me the best gift ever, which was 6 Gilmore Girls scripts. Like the actual scripts, and I got to, and I read through them, and I was like, this is amazing. And then when I got to LA, I went to USC for graduate school for a year, and I was writing there, and I was taking TV and screen classes, but I was very focused on writing for Gilmore Girls. So I was like, should I write a Gilmore Girls spec? Like, what should I write for Gilmore Girls? And then I remember someone was like, well, if you like our dramedies, you could write an Ugly Betty spec too. And I was like, I don't really want to write Ugly Betty. That's not quite funny enough for me. And then eventually a teacher just told me, I think you should just write comedy, because it seems like you just want to write for Gilmore Girls. Like, it seems like this isn't like, it's not specific to the genre. Like, whenever someone mentions another dramedy, you're like, oh, no, thank you. You're like, I clearly just want to write for Gilmore Girls.
Right.
So I'd kind of decided I was going to go into comedy, but Rebecca had invited me to the set, and it was awesome. I got to see the real Stars Hollow. I got to see a scene with Alexis Bledel and some, I can't tell you, because they were shooting season 7. So I can't say.
Oh, so that was 8 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the last season, because... Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it was an episode that I remember was very specific, because again, same age, very specific to something that I had actually gone through. And I told them, and then all the writers were super excited because they were like, it's real. Like, it resonates with a young person. like she
we
gets
have
it. Yeah. Like, she gets it.
Well, because I wonder what the age range was for that writer's room.
Yeah. Rebecca was, I mean, it's interesting now because. You know, like, I feel like your idea of age of people changes as you get older, because as, like, a 21-year-old, everyone is like, that person seemed old to me, or, like, that person's, like, a hip young person.
Right.
And they're, like, someone who's 30 seems so much younger than someone who's 40, but then someone who's 30 seems so much older than you when you're 21. It's only 9 years away. So she was, like, I think she was maybe in her early 30s, and she was one of the youngest people there.
Right. Because, yeah, they weren't staffing a lot of young, hot 20-somethings.
No, I think she was, like,
Gilmore
the young, because, like, she was, like, the young one who was telling them, like, what college was like. And
did she
like.
Work on Buffy before?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool crossover. There's a few. It was her and then Jane.
Yeah, and Jane, too.
Yeah. Also were Buffy and Gilmore Girls. Now I'm just kind of picking your brain.
No, go ahead.
Way.
Because we're always very curious. We've never had any actual writers from the show on before. And I've made assumptions, I think, like based on pretty lengthy interviews with kind of how it goes in terms of writing scripts, because Amy and Dan don't have sole writing credit on every script, like say Aaron Sorkin or David E. Kelly does, but all the episodes of the first 6 years seem to have their voice. Mm-hmm. So when like Rebecca would write a script, do you know what the process would be, like how it worked in the room in terms of the dialogue versus who got to like beat out the story?
I don't know all of those details. And I know by the by that season, also, the Paladinos were gone.
That's right.
So yeah. It was a different system.
Okay.
But I believe Rebecca was there for that first year, maybe? I could be wrong. But I would assume it would be like most television shows where, like, I feel like sometimes when people take credit, like when a showrunner puts their name on everything, technically a showrunner could be putting their name on every episode anyway because it's their vision and they're the ones who are going over every script. But right. Most showrunners are like, cool, or like, hey, I'll put someone else's name on it because they wrote the script and they worked hard on it. At our show, we pretty much have – we outline – the ideas together and work on stuff, and then we go and we have free reign and we make it our own, and then we like do a joke pass together. But our show is such the brainchild of Mike Schur that I mean I feel like every episode has Mike in it, and very much like, and his ideas in it, his jokes in it. So I think that there's a way that the Gilmore Girls could do it based on not knowing. I'm going to say that I think that writers would write it and then the Paladinos would go over it and make it their own.
Are there any things that now, rewatching it as a writer, that you see, like, story-wise or, like, plot-wise that you think you didn't pick up on as a kid?
Well, I think more of, like, just in terms of actually the actors and how much they have to memorize and how fast they're talking.
Yeah.
And how long the shots are,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and all of that, actually, I noticed, like, the production stuff I noticed. And even when I got the scripts that I was sent, they were longer than the average drama, which I thought was interesting because they talk so fast. And I had read an interview where Amy Sherman-Palladino said that at first, the network was concerned these scripts are coming in too long, but she assured them they're going to talk so fast that it's still going to be the same length as your other dramas. But that's kind of a risky move.
Yeah.
You know, you're always cutting for time on television, so it's kind of risky to go in with like, yeah, it's going to be a super huge script and it'll just go fast.
That's crazy to me. I mean, obviously, that's how they had to write it, but, like, I just imagine turning in a 60-page script and being like, oh, don't cut anything. It's going to be 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big scripts.
Television.
And that's been Inside the Writer's Room with Kevin and Demi, with special guest Aisha. As if we're in the writer's room. I'm James. What is your favorite swear word? Can I speak to the real Aisha?
Seth
MacFarlane?
Yeah, I was just...
Oh, right.
I just remembered, but about Seth MacFarlane. So, what's the other girl's name? I know it's Zach and...
I don't know. Oh. Hannah.
Yeah.
Sure, Hannah.
Who cares?
So, Hannah comes out the gate, and she's being very nice, and then immediately the first thing we hear Seth MacFarlane is like, hey, maybe we should reproduce afterwards, and he's just like, screw you, and he's mean from that point on. So, you never get a chance to even like him a little bit. So, by comparison, he seems like the awful person in that relationship.
She's pretty upset, too, I feel like. But he's worse.
Yeah.
I have a backstory theory based on nothing except my own imagination that I'll share.
Do it.
I think that she mentions that they're going to be, like, long distance or maybe break up. And I think he maybe secretly is really sad about that and is acting out and trying
I'm sure.
Like
Ooh.
In my head, they were being mean to each other because it was like, we don't want to try to make this relationship. We want a reason that this isn't sad for
like,
us.
Like, push each other away
exactly.
Now. That's their story.
Wow, we've really gone deep
spin-off.
With these two.
I want to see the spinoff
these
show.
These two one-episode characters.
Yeah. I want to see A to Z with them.
It is so funny that he was, because it wasn't like he was making the rounds on like shows and guesting on them a bunch.
What was he doing at this point?
He was doing Family Guy. So Family Guy was on the air in its original run, because this was 2002. And then it didn't get canceled for the first time until, like, 2003.
That's so weird then.
Yeah. So he was still doing Family Guy. So there must be some sort of connection. Like, Jackson Douglas, who plays Jackson, is married to Alex Borenstein, who's also on the show as Drella.
Well, I know that Daniel Palladino.
Obviously wrote
for
both.
So I'm sure there were a lot of, like, people who worked on it, and they were like, oh, my God, we should get Seth. And Seth was probably just like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. They might have, like, run out of, like, they needed someone. Like, we had one of our Parks and Rec writers who joined us in season 6. We had him on our show as a guest star before then just because, like, we need someone.
Who's that?
And he's funny, Donnick Carey. He's a very super funny writer. And at the time, he was on New Girl. But he worked with, we knew a lot of the writers on New Girl, and someone was like, oh, let's get Donnick for this role. So he had actually been on the show as a character before he even wrote on it. So it could be something
funny.
Like that where there's like, we need, because also it's like, oh, we know this person will be funny or will be like okay on screen. And it's because it was kind of one of those things where it's technically a small part, but if it had been really bad, like they're not on screen that much, but they have a lot of time with Lorelai, with Lauren Graham. So you probably want someone who's kind of comfortable
right.
and can riff with her.
By the way,
she's riffing all the time. Oh,
yeah. Every time a writer from Parks and Rec appears on Parks and Rec, I get like giddy. Like seeing Joe Mandy as Morris is one of my favorite things.
Harris Whittles is great. Animal Control.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but it was a very weird thing to see Seth MacFarlane and then to see him just being this awful character, this awful person. Did we ever get oh, right, yeah, they find out that she was the rich person and they just get way mean about it. If in my head they would have just been like,
aggro.
All right. Yeah, no, he like goes out of his way. He like leans around and's like, huh, rich girl.
Yeah. It's like middle school. Like they're just it's really weird.
It's
like, oh, grow you up. Think you're too good to go to Shakey's with us now? She's like, no, I have a daughter. I just want to spend time with her.
Yeah, that's, I think all she had to say was she's like, I have a daughter. I'm sorry.
Demi, growing up in Texas, because we were both from Texas, did you go to CeCe's
pizza? Yeah, all the time. Is that
do you know what
CeCe's
is?
No.
Okay.
What?
I don't think it's out here.
Oh, no.
I think CeCe's was our
Shakey's. I bet Alexis Bledel would know. She's from Texas, so.
Houston. H-Town, my girl.
We'll ask her when she comes on the show.
Me, her, Renee Zellweger, and Beyonce. Well, she might.
And Harris Whittles.
Yes, absolutely. I know.
Harris is from Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All the more. Harris, we love you. Greer Thibodeau wrote on Facebook, was Emily sweet or completely over the top to film The Graduation?
Over the top, but in a very sweet way.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is yes to the question, right? Yeah, like, that's how Emily...
That's how she shows love.
Yeah, it's well-intentioned, but my God, a cameraman? Like, yeah.
And he was shooting film, too. Like, it was a film camera. It wasn't like, oh, videotapes and gotta get another tape. It was straight up like 35 millimeters.
I'm sure if she could, she would have gotten like an IMAX camera and like 10 cinematographers to like light the place really well.
Yeah, like get a DP, like a, what is that guy? Who wrote, lit American Beauty? Conrad L. Hall, I want to say. You guys up on your DPs?
Yeah,
sorry.
Dude, definitely. It's definitely a Conrad movie.
Yeah, I could tell the lighting. It was very clear.
Right. Classic Conrad. Lucia probably, wrote, I thought it was weird that Emily and Richard didn't ask why Rory wasn't at the graduation. And didn't it seem a bit rude that Suki and Jackson drove all the way to Hartford for Lorelai, and then she didn't want to go out with them afterwards?
That's true.
Yeah. That it was classic Lorelai.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
She's a little...
Lorelai.
Yeah.
How rude of her. And also, it's very weird that they're just kind of like, that's fine. Like, wouldn't... I mean,
they're a low maintenance couple.
They want time alone.
Yeah, they're probably just like, that's fine.
That's great. More time for...
That suit looks better on the floor, Jackson.
Yeah. He looks hot. We're going to go deal with that.
What did you think of Lorelai inviting herself over to Suki's because the one diner she eats at is closed for breakfast?
Again,
first scene.
Classic Lorelai.
Okay, very classic Lorelai, but I was wondering if Suki had invited her. Like
it didn't sound like it, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Or she might have. It might have been something where Lorelai brought it up, and then Suki, like I'm using air quotes, invited her.
Right.
Just by being like, this person keeps mentioning that they want breakfast. I can see that happening between them.
It did provide maybe one of my biggest laughs of the episode, is the difference between Jackson and Suki in the morning, and Lorelai has the line.
Let me hear you say,
I thought they were going to say, like, oh, he's crazy hungover or something.
Yeah, he partied so hard last night.
Jackson seems like a partier. When those overalls come off, man.
It all comes down.
Speaking of Suki.
Yeah,
there's
Suki.
I know. I keep saying it wrong. Speaking of Suki, there is a lot of food porn in this episode of fruit.
Food porn of fruit.
Yes. There's like, okay, we have the breakfast scene where they like show the nice table with tons of fruit laid out on it. Then we have the scene with Emily and Richard where they're at their house and it's like tea time and they have just a plate, like a table full of fruit. And then for no reason whatsoever, when Suki brings out the graduation cake.
Doosie.
Are you okay?
Demi just
I've
got
heard, yeah, I've, I'm familiar with this debate.
Right.
What as you, a fan of the podcast.
What do you think?
I say dozy.
Everyone says dozy.
Right. It is
that's
dozy.
That's not for debate. Oh.
It is dozy, but like...
But you're upset because the sign doesn't look like how you would spell it.
No, right.
But I feel like so many people have names like that, that it's like, that doesn't seem weird to me.
Yeah, like P-O-R-T-E-R. Who wouldn't think to call that porter? That's crazy.
What are you talking... What? I was like, who is P-O-R-T-E-R? Yeah.
It's like, I feel like... That feels real to me. I'm sorry.
Nah.
It feels like the realest thing they've ever done.
Okay, that on record, that's the realest thing they've ever done on that show.
They dared. It's like, this is what happens in real life. It's gritty. You can't always know how someone's name should be pronounced.
That's true. That is very true to life. It's the
TTL. Flat circle.
And then Suki, for that, I guess I just feel like I've been, I now think of that. That True Blood character, yeah. Which annoys me.
Because it's a very distinct difference. It's a fine difference, but it is distinct.
It's weird because I don't watch True Blood. It's just I assumed it was Suki.
Oh, no, dude. Do you?
No.
It's okay if you do.
Look, all right, I do. Okay, and no.
I'm a bloody for life.
But it's a bloody.
What are the fans called?
I don't know, but not bloodies.
True
probably.
Bloodies. Bloody Buddies.
Bloody Buddies.
That could be one.
That's the name of our True Blood podcast.
I would never do that. I tried to watch two episodes of it and respect everyone who's involved with it, but
it didn't go.
No.
I've heard good things about it. It doesn't seem like it's for me. I know Alan Ball is behind it, so it's probably well written, but I'm just not. I don't care. What I was going to say is when they go into the kitchen, there's just like light is hitting the fruit on the table so well that it's like it looks like a Food Network show. It's insane. And it just made me hungry. And I was like,
it sounds like you were already hungry when you were watching it. You were like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing.
I didn't have dinner. And I was like, I'm going to pop in some Gilmore Girls real quick.
42 minutes in the microwave.
Let me hear you say,
That's me in the morning, too.
We're all just banking it for the eventual beats. What'd you say? You're gonna do a song out of all these soundboards?
I'm gonna do something with all these soundboards. There's too many.
Nice chicken. Rory! Try a plum. They're better than sex.
Mucho mac and cheese.
Now take a peek.
Shaq who?
I have the buzz. My goodness, look at all the posters.
We're gonna go through all of them right
now. My ways, young lady. Bagging the Swede.
Oh, I couldn't find the one you were talking about.
That's fine.
What was it?
Now take a peek.
Now take a peek. Oh.
Now take a peek.
It's very satisfying.
No, it is. It's great.
It's like I sometimes play a game in the car. I'll try to sing the first note of a song before it comes on to see if I can be on pitch when it comes on, like to test my pitch. And I'm usually like like a little bit above. But it's like if you can say the cadence of the line
right before.
Oh, right, yeah. You can get it.
Then boom, you nailed it. You crushed it. Any other note? Oh, we gotta give it up to Poop Doctor.
We gotta give it up to the Poop Doctor.
How is Lorelai so oblivious to the fact that she's rich? She can summon money just by suffering awkward conversation. I mean, like, damn, I'd gossip about Titty Hendren all day if I could get a couple of thou.
Is Titty Hendren...
That's one of the made-up names.
Isn't Tippy Hendren like a real...
Yes.
Tippy Hendren.
Okay.
Tippy Hendren.
Titty Hendren. That sounds like a...
That's like an off-brand, shape. Like Lucky Charms off-brand where it just comes in the bag.
Yeah. Titty Hendren sounds like a shape, like a 500-sided square or something. I don't know.
Yeah, or like a weird off-brand sex doll of that.
Yeah. Titty Hendren.
Like she did not license it, but they were like, we're going to do it anyway. People want it.
Look, everyone's asking for the Tippy Hendren sex doll.
But it is, I mean... Poop Doctor, I'll say it again, Poop Doctor raises a good point.
Yeah.
That she, but she wasn't like oblivious. She just, maybe I didn't understand Poop Doctor's question. It's that she seemed oblivious to being rich or that she.
She kind of like almost pretends like I'm not rich.
She distances herself from that narrative.
Yeah, she does that constantly.
She lives in a mansion.
That's part of her like survival complex. I feel like that's her way of distancing herself from her parents, where it's like, I have nothing to do with this. But when there's an emergency, she does have something to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even in her everyday life, like she lives in this crazy nice house. She works.
Which people have pointed out is not that nice.
It's pretty nice.
Maybe people in Texas with like four-story mansions.
Maybe
or
not. But even then, those people
it seems
are
nicer
like,
than Suki's house.
It definitely is. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
It's
Suki lives in a little cottage.
That's very true.
Yeah.
She lives in it looks like a very nice cottage, but it seems like the kind of place that for people, they're living together. There are two earners in that family. It's such a smaller house compared to Lorelai, who's raising a child, is the only earner in a multiple bedroom house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like the best house before her parents. I mean, Luke lives just like above a diner. He's a business owner. He lives like in a weird cave.
By the way, Luke is wealthy enough to buy the building next door.
Well, kind of.
Because
he sold it right back. Or did they ever resolve that?
Well, it was never resolved.
Okay.
I think he still owns it. I don't know what happened to that. He was thinking about buying an apartment, but he just lives right upstairs. He has so much money and is a business owner, but he lives, I don't know.
He's kind of like a, he's probably like, oh, I'm Luke. Like, I want to rough it. I'm just going to stay upstairs. Like, my dad owned this place and I got to stay close.
He's the kind of person who's going to die and leave like,
flawless Luke impression.
He sounds like a jazz musician. I don't know why.
Hey, I'm Luke and I got to. Zip it, papa. This one's called Blue Lynch Style.
This one's called Nice Chicken.
Luke sounds like the kind of guy who will die and then be like, oh, yeah, he left $50 million to each of you. It's like, whoa, what? Where did he get that money?
Wait, but did you guys cry? You said you cried.
Oh, I did. Okay, so
I cried too. That's why I was like,
when she graduates and they cut to yes! Richard and Emily.
And that's like one of my favorite moments of the whole series for the three of them.
I couldn't cry at it, but I did think, oh, this is so sweet. This is the moment Kevin cries at. And I also, it was, I think emotionally, I felt it so emotionally, but it was almost ruined for me by the camera guy shuffling around her.
The worst camera guy in the world. Oh, my God.
They followed her up on stage? Like, I would have been so embarrassed.
He was 2 inches from her. Like, you're not getting a good shot.
Those are some wide lenses.
Yeah, they had to be.
Yeah, it's all fisheye.
Yeah, like every music video in the 90s.
Set to ska.
Speaking of Stars Hollow Economics, someone, I can't find the tweet right now, but someone did bring up, and I thought while watching the episode, Roy keeps saying, I'll take you out, Mom. It'll be my treat.
Yeah. That's true. With what money?
Yeah. She it's like doesn't a very have a job.
Kid thing to say where it's like the parents like, your money's my money.
Right.
It's like, I feel like that's the thing kids say, though. You're like, Mom, I made this for you. Or like, I bought this for you. And it's something that you just get your money from your parent.
If she gets allowance, I get.
At the bookstore, maybe?
No. They haven't hinted at that at all, okay. If that's the case. She is a deadbeat.
If she gets an allowance of some sort, I get the symbolic nature of it being like, I want to spend some of this money that I get on you to say I'm sorry. But, like, she's not really working for it.
I bet Richard gave her, like, a $200 birthday check at some point.
Oh, that's true.
And she's just been waiting to cash it and take Lorelai out.
We're going to go to Shakey's, Mom. You and me. No pizzas off the market. Money is no object.
No pours allowed.
No pours allowed. We'll sit in the rich section of
Was
Shakey's.
Luke's only seen in this episode when he ran into Lorelai? In the
market.
Grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was in the wrong, I think.
For
their fight.
Yeah. She overreacted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She should have been somewhat concerned, but she went about from the exact wrong angle.
Yeah.
It's your fault. You kept him here. It looks like
you owed something to me. It's like, you guys aren't together.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's bad. No, I agree. But I thought it was really well played how they did that scene in the market.
It was a nice scene.
Like she really nailed the thing where it's like, hey, how's the diner? Like, she was concerned.
She's like, okay,
it
wasn't
fake. Yeah. And but he was like, gotta go. Yeah.
He's wounded.
I see a little of Luke in Ron Swanson.
Oh.
Truthfully. Have you ever thought that consciously?
I haven't thought that because I feel like Luke is a little more of. I feel like Ron Swanson has a lot of things in effect for his privacy, but that to keep himself away from people. But Luke feels like he's keeping himself away just because he. Is just angry or like it's not an issue of like privacy or having time or solitude. It just feels like he is just constantly annoyed and just very angry all the time.
I feel like Luke is the other Ron when the Parks Department is almost merged. The one that's played by Sam
Elliott. Oh,
yeah. Because he's an environmentalist. I'm sure he and Ron would get along in certain ways, but he's an environmentalist. He is like, he lives aesthetically, almost like Ron does, but I don't think he cares about his privacy or like.
Well, Luke also, like, Luke makes a lot of stuff with his hands. Like, he made that huppa for. Say that right?
Yeah,
huppa.
Yeah,
he made the hoo-wah.
So they could talk about woodworking if they were ever to meet. But there's something about Luke, I guess. This is probably just because I'm like, well, I write for Parks and I love Ron Swanson and he's wonderful. But like, and I'm like, and Luke is someone else's character. But I don't know. Yeah, it just feels like Luke is more like, what's the word? Like, it feels like he has this, it's like he's putting up walls because there's like a psychological thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, he really wants to be loved, but whereas Ron is like, no, I don't want that. And this is what I've done to make sure. And sometimes I'll come out, but Luke just seems like he's like really tense and like,
don't
get in here.
He seems troubled in a way Ron is.
Yeah.
Ron
kind of has
at
like
peace.
A bad boy, troubled type of.
Ooh. A bad boy, you say? Much yeah, like his
much
nephew.
Like Jess. No. Team no. Jess. Team Jess.
Or we need to, you know, we should start calling whatever segment it is where it's like, are we Team Jess? Are we not? We'll call it Say Yes to the Jess.
I will, okay, I right? will never say yes to the Jess. But then you're convincing me of a thing you're not convinced on.
Oh, no. But I'm just saying, if right. listeners want to call in,
you guys,
which they're
I
about
have
to.
I convince you of this before I get out of here. So you seem like you were coming
You liked
over.
Him in this episode.
I liked
yeah.
him in this episode. It's the first time.
He just wasn't a monster. Exactly. He was just like a pretty decent person.
He was a decent person.
But he wasn't like, oh, what a man. Like, I wasn't like swept
no,
away.
No, exactly. Him.
Not swept away. But also, it's different between two different things. Like, do you like Jess, like you want to be his friend, or would he be like, should Rory date him, or right. should Rory spend time with him?
It's hard for me to say should Rory date him because she's currently in a relationship, and I just kind of want to be like, hey, just end the one you're not attached
yeah, for
to.
Sure.
But as a person, I'm not coming around to him, but I am wondering if he, because we're so close to the end of the season, does he take a Dean-like shift and become this totally like nicer character?
Can't tell you that.
I don't know, does he?
So you went, I can't tell you that, and Kevin just immediately like shook his head like, no, he doesn't.
I took this, I hate spoilers, so I was like, I'll take this question. I'm now leading this podcast.
Kevin,
no, the answer
like,
is no.
Kevin's like, hey, Kevin. Hey, no spoilers, but he'll, as long as I give the spoilers, it's fine.
I mean, it's not a spoiler. Truthfully, I don't know, and we'll examine it when
Maybe
we get
there.
Maybe
just when he's at home, he doesn't feel, he's not putting up a wall, like we've said that, but
right.
when he's in New York, he doesn't have, he's not forcefully pushing
right.
the town
That's
away.
True. Also, it's just more fun to watch Rory with Jess.
It is. It's definitely more fun because...
I mean, more so than Dean.
Exactly.
Yes. That's
yes.
the thing is, like, we keep comparing it to Dean.
Right. You want something in between, maybe.
Dean is like, okay, I love The West Wing. Do you like The West Wing?
Yeah.
Do you watch it?
I haven't seen all of it, but cool. I like what I've seen.
First four is all you need. Don't bother after that. But Dean is almost like the Republicans on The West Wing. Where it's like they are constructed in a way to where like the good guy, like the Bartlett administration, it's a Democratic liberal administration. So the conflict there is always going to be weakened by the fact that like those are your guys and your protagonists are the other party. So the way Sorkin oftentimes, and sometimes it is pretty nuanced, less on The Newsroom, but like he'll construct these arguments just to knock them down. It's just classic strawman argument. So what they've done in season two is they've made Dean such a straw man.
So you're not as upset with Rory.
That he's easily knocked down.
Yeah.
Like, if you just compare Jess to nothing, don't compare it to anything. Just measure him just based on what you think is, like, integrity, character, good to people, loving, encouraging, supportive, whatever. I think he fails. If you compare him to Dean, yeah. Like, of course he's more interesting. Of course he's more attractive. Of course he's got more things going on. He understands pop culture better.
Right.
But
Shots fired at Jared Padalecki.
I actually think he does a pretty good job. I actually do like him a lot.
I feel like if you compare him to season one Dean, Dean in season one is almost a good boyfriend. Season two, he becomes this weird sort of like dumb guy who is like, I just want to play softball. I don't read books anymore. I'm angry. Yeah. So I think season one, Dean could hold a candle to Jess. Season two, maybe not.
You think that Dean is on steroids because he's suddenly super into softball?
My God.
And this was around that time, right? When the like whole Sosa.
He talks like, all the time.
I know nothing about baseball.
I would imagine it was.
Sure, let's just say
he does. He does talk all the time about how his balls are shrinking.
Yeah, that's
true. That's in every episode.
And the deleted
that's
scenes
so
on the
weird.
Yeah, they keep cutting the business school references so they could fit in the shrinking balls.
The balls
yeah.
references.
Oh, we were going to mention business school, but
look,
we got to
look, it's one
get...
or two. There's one page of this,
one page
prioritize.
Of this. We got to go with Dean's ball.
We wrote 120 pages of this script, all right? You got to choose one.
Me, oh my.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You know one thing I wanted to say about the Seth MacFarlane thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before we go. So this is the most important thought of the episode. Is I found it, I don't know if it's a performance thing, because I haven't seen him in a lot of live action stuff in general. So I don't know if it's a performance thing or it's because I'm so accustomed to his voice, but I found it kind of distracting, his whole performance. I just kept watching his face in a way that I don't with other people. I know that's a weird thing. Obviously, you're always watching everyone's face whenever you're watching an actor.
I know what you mean, though.
But it's like, oh, so that's what your face looks like. Because essentially, he sounds like a version of Brian, which he does on Family Guy. I find this with podcasters, too, when they do TV shows. Like Hardwick or Aukerman, like I get distracted by their faces. Is that a me problem?
I think it might be a you problem with Seth MacFarlane because I'm so used to seeing his face in other things, like in A Million Ways to Die in the West, and I feel like there's
your favorite movie. That's
my number one. Oh my god, yeah, they're actually tied for first. No, but I feel like there's something else I've seen in him. But I feel like I've seen his face enough and seen him the Oscars. I've seen his face enough and seen him talk that it's not distracting for me anymore. I very much, when I hear like Brian, I'm just like, oh, it's that dude. Like I put the face to the dog.
Put the face to the dog.
Sounds like an idiom for something. Who knows what?
He was putting the face to the dog. Also, I really want to see a spinoff with the guy on the bus with the spit can.
Oh, yeah.
That
was terrifying.
I hope in the deleted scenes, we get that entire bus ride set to like, I'm working on that route. I can't remember what song it is.
Which one?
Like a kind of...
Everybody's talking about me. I don't know the words to say. That song.
I love this bar.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No, not that one? Okay. No,
but there's this song that is used as like any montage in a movie where they're traveling somewhere.
Right, and someone's like going through mud or like...
Exactly, like, yeah. A bus breaks down at one point. It's that song. I want to see that guy just spitting in a can every half mile.
Yeah. Were you guys upset with Rory that she missed it or were you guys like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was upset, but I was also just kind of like... Hey, that sucks, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's the bus's fault, too. She had every intention of getting there on time.
Right. It seems like she planned it out but didn't account for the bus.
Right. Yeah. No. And it wasn't a poor intention thing, obviously. She wasn't just like, F it. Like, but it was maybe I just get frustrated with, like, poor planning in general.
It's what
like,
a day to go.
You didn't. That's the thing. And when you've invited, it's like if I said, hey, Demi, Aisha, I'm going to a party tonight. I know you guys don't know a lot of people there, but it's going to be great and we'll have fun. And then I don't come and it's just you guys show up.
Furious.
Right?
Right.
Which is what she did with Richard and Emily. So that's the thing. Yeah. She's making a production out of it and then she's like, peace.
Right.
And then
I'm going to New York. It's like, it's the bus. She had no way of controlling the bus schedule.
True. I did love that bus driver. He was like, I hope we're leaving soon. Like it was like a 1950s.
He was like, honestly, this is my plan for the day. If it doesn't pan out, so what?
It's like, I just want to get home for dinner. And it's like, what time is it now? It's very confusing. Like what?
Where in real life, he would just be like, shut the fuck like, up. Yeah. He would be cussing her out.
Yeah.
You get back in that seat. All I can think now is why not just go any other day to New York?
Because he called the day before.
But, like, she should just been like, look, I've got something really big tomorrow that I can't miss. I will come see you some other time.
And there's a chance I'm an idiot when it comes to bus schedules.
Look, I don't know how buses work.
I don't know anything about subways or buses, but I'm just going to go to New York and wing it.
I've never even heard of a hot dog.
Yeah.
A car is the only form of transportation I've taken.
Yeah.
Has Rory ever been on a plane, do you think?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, because when they go on that road trip, it's like they've talked about other road trips they've taken.
Right.
I feel like she hasn't been on a plane.
It's possible.
I know that maybe in the future, without any spoilers, there's some talk about her.
Oh, maybe she goes. Maybe she goes across the country.
Maybe she learns what a plane is.
That would be so funny if they did an episode where it's like, we're going to L.A. And they're just like, okay, we'll just go off the back lot for a day.
Yeah, and they literally just want. That's the thing is like. Connecticut is not a mountainous town.
No.
The state of Connecticut.
I would love for Rory to get a scholarship and they go to LA and they visit the Warner Brothers lot. And they're just like, all right, take all the set down.
Well, there is a weird meta joke actually on Supernatural where. Have you ever watched it? So
no,
it's Jared Padalecki's show.
I know, yeah.
After Guillermo.
It's been on forever.
Yeah, it's been on for 12 years or something.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I saw an episode of the other day, just out of the blue, and I couldn't tell what season they were in because he looks the same as he does when he's Dean. But it looked like it could have been shot yesterday.
Yeah,
he looks amazing. He's aged well. I almost said black don't crack, which is weird because he's white. But that was the instinct
smite.
I had. I was like, sure. And I was like, that doesn't apply in this situation.
If you said it, Jared Padalecki would be like, I'm black. I'll take it.
But he looks, yeah, he does still look the same.
Yeah, he's got that Keanu Reeves Jean thing.
Yeah, the Paul Rudd thing.
Ooh, Keanu Reeves, Paul Rudd.
Pharrell.
Mm-hmm. Pharrell. Well, that is a black don't crack situation.
How this old is like, Pharrell? 50?
40 something?
Does he have a family?
I don't know.
He's a fountain of youth.
Who are you asking for?
I'm just trying to picture him like as like a dad, like an old dad at home. Like he puts on his like dad glasses and a sweater.
And his slippers. Yeah.
I just imagine him being the dad who's like, I can't drop you off because it'll ruin like all of my nicely pressed clothes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say my reputation.
Yeah, my reputation.
Can't be seen with you.
Can't be seen with you. I wrote happy.
You're just because a dumb kid.
Daft Punk, that was me. What have you done?
Michelle wasn't in this episode, was he?
No, he was not. He couldn't make it to the graduation.
I know. You'd think he'd show up.
Yeah, you'd think he would show up. He's like part of his friends.
Is this the only episode in which Lorelai calls Richard daddy?
She says, thanks, daddy.
No, she says it later. She says it late. Well, so far.
So far. Okay, so this is the first time.
Oh, no.
Look, as far as we're concerned, this is the last episode to have ever been made.
Because I feel like I notice it every time she does it because it makes me cringe.
It's impactful. Oh, it does make you cringe.
Yeah, I think it's weird because, I don't know, it just seems like it's supposed to be like, oh, she's letting her guard down and she's being a kid again. But it's like she's not a kid again. So it just seems weird where she's like, thanks, daddy.
It seems like a weird dynamic, especially when she says, thanks, daddy. And then Richard just goes.
Oh, my God.
Also, in that scene, when he gives her the money, I thought that was weird because they're walking away. And she says, come back for a picture. And then he gives her the money. So he was walking away.
It was a cover. Yeah,
like, he was
forgot.
Leaving.
And he totally
then,
forgot.
Like, he wasn't sticking around.
In my head, he, like, Emily
He's
was
gonna
like,
leave it on her windshield.
He was like, if she asks for a picture, then I'll give her the money.
It's a riddle.
He's paying for the picture. Oh my God, he forgot who she was. And he's like, oh, thanks for the photo, I guess.
Well, I think that's it for the episode discussion, guys.
We didn't talk briefly about the scene, or the only moment with Christopher and Lorelai.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that. That's important.
What did you guys think of that? Because in my head, any scene with them now where they're so nice, they are so great together, and it stresses me out because I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm just like, they're so good. This is the best ex relationship I've ever seen. When is it going to be ruined?
It just feels, we're not going to say anything.
No, I know. Don't say.
But yeah.
I wish you guys could have just seen what happened to me. Like, they just went silent and made this, like, and looked at each other. Like,
what
and
do
like,
we
oh,
do?
Oh, no. What do we do? Yeah. They tugged at their shirt collars and went, No, but it's just, like, I'm just so, like, seeing them together is stressful for me because part of me is like, that's great. They can handle this. But I'm just, I know. Like, I know that something's going to happen. I'm just like, is it going to be about Rory? Is it going to be about the relationship? Is it one of them gets married? I don't know.
They're very cute together.
They are.
Their chemistry is... Yeah.
It's off the charts.
Christopher is my dad's favorite character as, mm-hmm. like... And my parents were friendly exes. They're not back together. They were divorced for 25 years, and then they got back together.
Wow.
So now when my mom and I watch Gilmore Girls, my dad is also there, and he's like, I like Christopher.
He's
like,
rooting for Christopher. What like, a funny perspective.
He's like, he seems like a cool guy. And, like, it's always just the ladies. But then, like, maybe this other guy is in the mix. And it's like, no, Dad.
And there's, like, a diner that your mom used to go to. And your dad's like, no, we're not going there.
Never again.
To Duke's. We're not going to Duke's
we're
diner.
We're not going to Duke's. I hate Duke, and especially his son Tess, his nephew Tess. There is
that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, of all the men in the show to like, I feel like Christopher is the no brainer. He's the only one. I feel like I might have said disparaging things about Christopher when we first met him, but he's like the best guy on the show. Like he's the only one right now that I'm not like
questioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Level. Yeah.
Except all the backstory with him, because he's now the best guy.
Right.
But it's like, where
he
was
abandoned.
He?
It took a bit to get there.
Yeah.
People equate him and Jess all the time.
Oh.
And I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Who was their last guest to do
no,
that?
No, that makes
Did
sense,
Clements
I think.
Do it? Like, I don't... But
Not
I don't,
the exact same. Actually, you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I don't think they're the same. But I could see why people would think that, because it's that pop culture shared thing. It's that banter. Because, like, Lorelai and Chris have that. And then Rory and Jess have that. But mm-hmm. I think Chris is very different from Jess. Also, Chris was, like, a rich boy growing up, which is a different type of
And he was a people pleaser.
I wonder, Jess could Jess ever grow up to be Chris is my thing.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't know, dude. We'll see.
Yeah. No, we won't. Does season 7 jump forward 40 years?
Maybe.
They go, like Parks and Rec, they jump forward 3 years.
I hope.
That's where we got the idea. From the Gilmore Girls season 6 finale.
From the season 8 scripts that were written, but never produced.
I imagine you casually keep pitching ideas, just like, oh, what if Leslie Knope graduates?
What if Leslie opens an inn?
Yeah, I don't know.
Leslie opening an inn would be good television. I know. I'll tell you that much.
I kind of blew it. Damn it, I gotta call Mike.
Everyone wants season 8.
Push this into one of the last episodes.
What are your biggest regrets of Parks and Recreation? Let's start alphabetically.
Yeah, Leslie have a teenage daughter. That should have happened. Yeah.
Well, A, Anteater.
Yeah.
No.
B, Aardvark.
Oh, you guys are doing my regrets.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna project them onto you, what we think they might be. Yeah. I truthfully, with all the stuff... Just joking around about a fictional season 8 or whatever. With all the stuff with Wet Hot American Summer and freaking just Netflix reviving shows left and right, Mr. Show's coming back together, Happy Endings might be coming back. I just think that...
Sorry, when your voice started wavering, I was like, oh no, drop the bit, dude.
Kevin, it won't. I'm sorry.
You don't think it ever would.
Kevin.
I wish it would. I want it to be a movie.
They're not, Kevin.
Well, I probably should cut that out.
They're pretty wealthy. They're much older. It would have to be the jump forward like a few years, and now
that's fine.
Now Rory's married to Marty Logan. One of the other boys.
Oh, we'll see. It's like someone's been
no, because they've been mentioned.
We've mentioned names without saying.
I don't know who they are. Taylor Dosey,
the Lane Kim Taylor Dosey wedding.
Oh my God, I would not like to see that.
Someone pointed out, sorry Twitter, I'm really screwing up. Shacker, that Lane and Taylor never talk in the entirety of the
series. Probably in their contract.
Lane also doesn't talk to like her grandparents, Rory's grandparents, which I feel like
Richard and Emily.
Doesn't she at one point?
Well, I remember when Edward Herman passed away, R.I.P. She tweeted like, "I never got to work with him, but he was a great man," or something like that.
Whoa, really?
Or
they?
I don't know.
I think I can say this.
I'm probably getting that
wrong. I feel like throughout the course of the series, a lot of people come to dinner with the Gilmores.
Right.
In Rory's life and Lorelai's life. Mm-hmm. And Lane is never invited.
That's so weird.
Or we never see that, which I think is weird because I feel like, especially if you're like, oh, I have to go to dinner with my grandparents again, I'll just take my best friend. Like, and she'll be like, oh, great. I don't have to hang around with my mom. Yeah. She's so lame. Like, that would be a great thing for them to do together.
She's definitely met Emily because there was a time when she came to the antique shop.
Yes.
True.
She's met her.
It's so like, weird to me that she hasn't interacted with...
I might be getting that wrong. Maybe I'm thinking about
it. No, I mean, if she said that she never got to work with him, I believe.
But I might be misquoting the tweet. I'm sure Twitter will let me know.
Yeah.
One or another.
That's the best thing about making mistakes.
We can
just make a mistake.
But no, they could totally do like 6 episodes on Netflix. What are the biggest costs of the show? It's like nothing production wise. The sets are half up there because Pretty Little Liars is still using the town square.
Are they really?
Yeah,
there's really a lot funny. Of the sets still there. Well,
I just imagine you see the Williams Hardware in the background. They're like, that's my hardware store. Let's not go
they didn't change that sign.
Yeah.
I have respect. But it could happen. I should make it happen.
I'd love to. Dude. This is my next project. I'm announcing it here.
Oh my gosh.
Host Parks, I am writing the Gilmore Girls
You and
movie.
Harris Whittles. It's a collab.
Harris's dream come true.
Oh. Okay, well, let's write the episode.
Let us. I'm going to give it. This is a good episode. It really is. A lot of juicy stuff happens. It's an episode that made me kind of like Jess temporarily. I'm not fully Team Jess, but I am... starting to see how I could come around. Starting to see how I could come around. There weren't any big moments that I was like, what the hell is this? So I'm going to give it... Look, if I don't ever say that, then it's a good episode for me. I'm going to say... I wish there was like... I'm not going to get 8.5. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. I got to scan my brain for things. Surprisingly good hot dogs.
I love this episode too. I love every scene seemed to have a purpose and was interesting for a different reason. I thought almost all the comedy stuff worked. A great Daniel Palladino episode. I'm going to retract what I said, but I mean, I think there still is that perception that his scripts are kind of like different than a lot of the voice of the show. It's a Daniel Palladino. Yeah. But rewatching this, because I am rewatching, it's not like I was like binging on it and then it came on Netflix. Like I hadn't watched it for like maybe a year or so.
Right.
I think his scripts are pretty great. Like everything in this is really funny. And
I think he has high notes and low notes. Like there are some episodes that I would agree when people say, oh yeah, he has some stinkers, but this is not one of them. This is definitely a good episode. So
I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 tassel hat cakes. Which Suki makes for Lorelai. Apparently, yeah, she got stoned at her own graduation.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that was a kind of cool for the stoned. WB.
That's what I thought too. It's like, whoa. It wasn't like, oh, well, that's not cool, Suki. It was like, yeah, no, yeah. Right? Yeah. She was like into
it's
it.
It's fun.
By the way, graduations are super boring. I don't know why she was like, I gotta do this. Like, that's that seems like
you mean Suki.
Any of them. I mean, Lorelai specifically, because she had to be convinced to go to it by Rory, who has never had a graduation. And it, like, I feel like Rory's going to do her graduation and just be like, oh, I shouldn't have told my mom to do this. This was awful. I've been here for 4 hours. Although she'll probably give the speech, so it's fine for her.
It's community college. Not a lot of people are graduating.
That's true. And they probably don't have some sort of, like, big display of, like, look at you all of the colleges. Now one speaker from each school will come up.
Right.
I love the episode. It's one of my favorites. And I really liked that. I like episodes where they kind of flip it around, where maybe Rory's the one that's not as considerate or kind. Because normally that's Lorelai. And I thought it was kind of cool that Rory went to find Jess, as I am Team Jess. I love episodes that involve Jess. And I also, just in terms of mother-daughter accuracy, I think the scene where Lorelai's getting ready and she's like, what do I wear? What do I do with the layers under my gown? That felt very real, which I feel like the show does really well, where they're like, you have two, like, ladies who are mother and daughter living in a house together. Like, a lot of times in the show, they'll just kind of talk about what they should wear or, like, how they should prepare to go out. And it's, like, just, like, banter at home, which I like. So A-plus for that banter. So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 spit cans.
Ooh. 9 out of 10 spit cans. Without spoilers, are there episodes that are 10 out of 10 for you?
Yes.
What's one?
The road trip to Harvard, which you guys have already covered.
That's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. That's my favorite episode, I think, of the whole
Bracebridge
series.
Dinner, I don't know if I give it a 10 out of 10, but it's the one where if I was like, I got to show one episode to a friend.
That would do it.
That's the funnest the one.
Snow. That is really fun. I really like episodes where it's the two of them on, like, an adventure together or upset with each other.
I don't like episodes where they're upset with each other because a lot of me is just like, just resolve it already. Just resolve it.
Yeah. It's like, you're mother and daughter. Like, what's the worst that can happen?
Exactly.
We'll see.
Ooh, we will see. Or will we?
Oh,
I don't
no.
even know how to be coy anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Will we or not will we also see? Well, it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow, the segment where we give our plugs.
I'm gonna scoff at it every time because I always forget that that's what you're calling it now. Yeah, all right.
Aisha, what do you got to plug? Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, 6 episodes left. Tuesday nights now, NBC. You can find me personally at Ishmu on Twitter. And yeah, just the Parks and Rec finale is, oh my God, I forgot the date, so I'm not going to say it. But just keep watching.
It's
keep watching NBC.
No, the 24th is
the
finale,
it's
I want to
the
say.
Last week of February, I feel like. Just keep watching NBC.
Oh, constantly throughout the day.
Just waiting.
Just skip over the news where that guy lies all the time.
Topical. Oh, man.
We finally went there. We waited
all. It was weighing on my chest.
Sitting
I said Aisha did
after
like,
hours.
I gotta say something.
Yeah.
It's weighing on my little heart.
He keeps like shaking every time. He's like, I feel the reference coming. I don't know if you can speak to this, like, in terms of whether or not it's a good thing to, but is the staff bummed about how they're releasing the episodes like two at a time, sort of?
No, I mean, I think there are some episodes that work really well together as two episodes, and then some that don't work as well. So it's kind of a mixed bag where it's like, oh, actually, like the Leslie and Ron episode that was originally going to be a week later actually worked in terms of like the to be
That's
continued because
it
was immediately. And then I think my episode actually was the only standalone, which was the wedding episode, which that also kind of ended up working because
that episode, as you'll see, is kind of a bridge between
the Donna wedding episode.
Yeah,
that was a great episode.
Like, two part. Thank you.
Yeah.
And like that kind of splits the season in two different parts.
I love the cameo at the end, by the way. Have you seen it yet?
Not all the way through.
Oh my god.
There are a lot of cameos. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
I demanded it. I'm like, I'm not only working with stars.
Wow.
This is my last episode.
If I don't know them already, then forget it.
What's next for you? What do you think you're going to be working on next?
I'm working on a pilot right now with Amy Poehler, who she's producing it and I'm writing. So that's very exciting and fun.
What's that
she's
about?
Awesome.
Can
I reveal. Can't talk about it right now.
Come on.
But
who's going to hear
pitch us your ideas?
Like I said,
we have very small
listenership. Basically a Gilmore Girls movie. yeah, and then...
It's Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Lorelai and Rory.
It's called Fillmore Ladies.
Yeah. You can't tell anyone that I basically took the exact plot of Gilmore Girls. Amy doesn't know yet.
You won't say a word.
It's going to be great.
She'd be like, hey, don't watch that show.
Yeah. Don't just like...
I feel like if Amy was on Gilmore Girls, she would be a townie. She would be like Babette.
She could kill
it. Oh my God, yeah.
She'd be great, yeah.
She'd be so good.
Well, now I'm upset that won't happen.
Well,
let's see.
She'll do Wet Hot American Summer, First Day at Camp.
That's true.
Whatever it's called. The one that everyone is doing. That's amazing.
It's
how they
such
got
an
that
incredible,
together.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully they won't arrest the development. It.
I don't think
like
they
they're
will.
All
I don't think they will.
On different days or something.
I have faith in it.
You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Christian Mingle, J8.
I'm not on Twitter.
That's not true.
I'm at Electro Lemon on everything.
Electro Lemon.
There it is.
There it is.
Follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. Email us for our Gilmail Guys episodes, or AKA
Emaily Gilmail.
And you can email us GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. And now, with the call-in episodes we're doing and whatnot, you can actually give us a ring and buzz. And even if we're not doing a call-in show, you can leave a voicemail. And we might start doing a segment where we play your voicemails on the show for whatever episode we're talking about. If it's like a question about it, we could call that segment Call My Name. All you have to do is call my name, right?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, it's just great to see the process. Like, to see you guys figuring
off
it out.
Off-mic conversations happening on mic?
Yeah.
40 episodes later.
Literally.
These are conversations. I feel like, remember in the first episode, we were like, oh, we should record that as a jingle. And now we're still going like, nah, it's fine. Yeah. We're good.
So call us at 772-934-55... Sorry, screwed that up. Call
Kevin,
us.
That's my number.
Oh, no. It's just one digit off. It shouldn't pick that number.
Yeah.
It's 772-934-4559 or 772-WE-GILLY.
That's a huge coincidence, but yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh, the we part is.
The we is the gilly. It's not.
Anyway.
So that's it for us. Aisha, of course, you know the theme song. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been
me.
Such a blast. Please come back.
I would love
once
to.
Once we get to some more of your favorite episodes.
Love to come back. Thank you, guys.
Let's do it. If I'm starting too early.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there. On the next train, where you lead,
oh,
I will follow.
I was flat.
Anywhere.
I have a terrible voice.
That you tell me.
Let's all sing Oscar.
If you need, me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, 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 where you
lead,
I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to, if you need, me to be with you, I will follow.
Thank you, Aisha. We did it.
I like that song.
I never see it coming. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.